Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's weekly weather show. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on an absolutely lovely day, appreciating daylight savings time because it is way brighter out there than it was yesterday. For those of you who didn't set your clocks back, we've sprung forward a whole hour, so it's actually 5 o'clock, but it's now really 6 o'clock. We love that daylight savings time. Totally screws up the world. And what we do every week here on the show is we talk about what's going on in the world and what it looks like and how it feels energetically. And we talk about what's coming up in the week ahead and what that looks like energetically so that you can work with it productively, helpfully, you know, kind of figure out what's going on. So one of the things that we noticed this week was Uranus switching in from Pisces into Aries. And, of course, Uranus is really a shift, you know, one of those big changes that happens every 8 years. And so, as expected in the world, there were certainly Uranian events. Now, when Uranus went into Pisces, Pisces is the ocean and Uranus is craziness. And 8 years ago, when Uranus went into Pisces, we had the tsunami in Thailand. And a couple hundred thousand people were killed. And now we have the tsunami in Japan with probably thousands of people killed. And, you know, as when a planet leaves the sign, it brings back an echo, not quite as big as or nor dramatic as the first entrance into the sign. But it brings back an echo. It makes us think back, oh, wow, yeah, I remember that we had that other tsunami. And that was when Uranus went into Pisces, craziness in the ocean, you know, wild water, chaotic water. And, of course, Uranus rules quakes and unusual things and separations. And so earthquakes totally fall under Uranus's purvey. And very often when he stations or when he changes signs, we have a pretty major earthquake, which we had off the coast of Japan. And then it went into fire. Now, he went from the ocean fire in ocean fire, ocean water into fire, and then we had the explosion of the nuclear power plants. There should be two that go, because Uranus is a double sign. And that is really an imminent problem with Uranus and fire, kind of unexpected fire explosions. So we do see that kind of happening. What's the right word for it? Fire energy, really just shifting and changing and making us all aware of the power of fire. So we had the outer planet change this week. Now, last week I had quite a few people reporting, you know, losing jobs, getting fired, you know, it was their last day at work. There were some pretty good crashes, you know, crash and burn kind of energies with Uranus and fire. And Uranus and Pisces, the ending of relationships, you know, losing a sponsor, you know, you had a sponsor for a few years, you got lost the sponsor in AA. You know, just kind of all sorts of ending energies because the Pisces energy. Now, if it didn't end last week, that's good. Now, it may end still. We've got a couple more things to go before we're finished with all these changes. I know you're really tired of them. I am too. And I'm a little unnerved, actually. You know, a couple people wrote and said, wow, you predicted that. And I'm like, you know, no joy in predicting nasty things happening to people. However, you know, knowing that it is going to happen can sometimes help process the energy and say, well, that's what that looks like. And it didn't kill me. I'm still here. So obviously I'm supposed to be a witness to the process and do whatever I can to help. So I think if we adopt that process with the people that we know that have been going through major changes, and certainly all of us are somewhere having the tsunami and the earthquake in our chart, and we're having the explosion of fire energy where suddenly we're feeling very passionate and very fiery about things. As that energy kind of starts to settle in. Now, what will happen right now, we still have quite a few planets in Pisces. So when that happens, we're not necessarily looking at what those all look like. You know, they kind of have a what's the right word for it? They have a quality of excitement to them and a quality of wanting to create something. So today, with the moon in Gemini and then moving into Cancer, we are having kind of a shift in energy into a more nurturing place, which is always good. We had daylight savings time today, which today is Sunday the 13th of March 2011. And so Cancer moon, it rules the next few days, the third evening of the day, most of the day of the 13th, all day the 14th, and part of the morning, bright and early in the morning in the 15th, and ends with a trine to the sun. You know, moon in Cancer is trining the sun in Pisces, saying opening trine, let's kind of pay attention to what we're trying to accomplish and where we're trying to go. Then the moon goes into Leo on the 15th and the 16th and is there for half of the day on the 17th. And that is a separating aspect. So the stuff that we really saw as traumatic and problematic last week will be emotionally processing the separation. And I apologize, we're having a fire outside my house. Always exciting here in New York with the sirens playing in the background. And so that moon goes into Leo and is very creative. And we also, of course, have St. Patrick's Day this week, which is wonderful. We love the luck of the Irish to all of us. And my mother, who was always a very proud Irish woman, wore green most days in her life, you know, and was like, oh, everybody wants to be Irish. So we all get to be Irish or a little bit of Irish on St. Patrick's Day on Thursday. Moon goes into Virgo on the 17th, 18th, and then at 2 o'clock on the 19th, we have the moon as a full moon. Our last, we've been having a series of releasing full moons. We've had one in Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, and this week it's our releasing full moon in Virgo. So we're all going to be releasing on that full moon on Saturday. And then we have the vernal equinox, which is the new season starting on Sunday when the sun enters Aries and the moon is in Libra. So we have a new beginning, a new day, a new beginning of the new season. The sun goes across the equator of Earth. And here in the northern hemisphere, the days start to get longer by a minute a day. And in the southern hemisphere, the days start to get shorter by a minute a day as they move towards winter and we move towards summer. And the energy is very positive. So Pisces sun is going to go rolling through those last degrees. Now, what this is going to do is it's going to wake up all the stuff that you were working on last spring. And it's going to say, remember last spring, you know, April, May, June, you know, and then you kind of got to this turning point and then it paused. So the sun going through these last degrees is going to have a last emotional echo or a last ability to look at the stuff and to say, wow, that was pretty profound. And then as he comes to his last degree of Pisces, which he's going to be on the 20th, of next Sunday, we are going to feel that last little echo of the Uranus aspect. So while technically Uranus has gone into Aries, the sun in Pisces has to come along and click that off. And then in a couple of weeks, Mars is going to come along and click that off. And when those two guys shift out of Pisces, then we really have finished the Uranus in Pisces transit. So while even though Uranus has left Pisces, we have this kind of echoing residue, kind of an echoing moment. A lot of times, you know, like you have a party and you kind of clean up the whole party and then you're sitting there Saturday night, Sunday night after the party and you look over and you notice that there's a wine glass sitting on your bookcase. And you're like, man, I missed that one. There's an echo. So this week, on Sunday, there's an echo of the events of this last few months and an echo of the last message of Uranus in Pisces, where we become aware of, I mean, we always are aware of the power of the ocean. Certainly when we watch the earthquakes and the water, you know, flying towards a coastland and killing thousands of people, we kind of go, wow, you know, didn't see that one coming. And the Pisces energy of change and transformation as it washes away virtually everything in its path. And then right behind it is Uranus goes into Aries to fire, saying, okay, not only did we wash away everything, we are now stimulating. Now, it's interesting because in 1927, which was the last time Uranus was in Aries, is when they first started doing work on the nuclear physicists stuff and realizing that maybe they could harness the atom. And now, you know, we have atomic plants in the last 84 years. And we look to, you know, depending on what actually happens with this plant, or these plants, I guess there's a couple that are at risk, we will have a decision that we're going to make about how safe is nuclear power. You know, if we're going to have nuclear reactors melt down when there's an earthquake, it's going to call into question, wow, you know, it's, who knew? Well, I mean, obviously we know, but it also is what can we do to make this safer? And also as a culture, when we're looking at energy independence, because the 1920s also were when they divided up the Middle East to divide up the oil, we are now dividing up the Middle East. The Middle East is on fire, trying to figure out what they're going to do with their oil or with their people. And then from that, the oil then gets run out or pumped out. As we're looking at that, we're kind of going, okay, maybe we need something that's more fuel efficient or more economically efficient that actually isn't dangerous. However, the sun is free, hard to charge for the sun. But if we do, you know, all put solar panels on our houses or whatever the new version is of energy that comes out, it's understanding that it is creating energy that actually helps people. And transforms the collective and the culture. So it'll be an interesting time ahead because this is certainly going to make us reassess what our beliefs are about power and energy. So we've got the moon in the first part of the week in Cancer, you know, connect, relate in Leo, separate on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then in Friday, Saturday, Sunday, is Virgo, which is a full moon, again separating, and then an echo of the energy of this thing. What's it called? The tsunami and the fire energy. So if we look at the week ahead, the sun is busy. It goes from 24 Pisces to 0 Aries, starting the new season. And it does have on the 18th a square with the node of destiny and fate. So you'll be asked sometime this week to make a choice about your fate and your destiny as the sun comes at the last degree of Pisces to square the nodal axis at 28 Sag Gemini. Now, your job, I think, when you're having one of these things, is to kind of look for the higher vision of where you can go. There's always a higher, there's always a lower. And we do love that process in astrology where we can literally look and say, yeah, the higher form of this energy is this, the lower form is this, let's go for the higher form. I don't want to listen to the lower form. I want to work in the higher form of the energy. And taking that posture is a really helpful way to go. Now, Sagittarius is going to ask you to take action and move forward. Gemini is going to say to you, take action and move forward. But Gemini can be a little meaner. It can be a little more complainy. It can be a little more bitchy, for lack of a better word. And Gemini Mercury in Aries is a little mean. It's a little mean-spirited. It's going to complain about things. It's going to be unhappy. That's its job when Mercury's in Aries. Then we go to Mercury. Mercury is in Aries this week. Joins with Jupiter on the 15th, so it gets really mad then. And it can. You want to be careful on the 15th, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, not to send biting, mean emails because you're going to be in the mood to go, you know, it's a fire energy and Mercury, Jupiter is there. That will also be when we find out the news about these fires in Japan. That will also be when we get news of fires in our other lives, in other parts of our lives, right after it has that opposition to Jupiter because Mercury goes from 8 Aries to 17 Aries in your chart, setting off all planets between 8 and 17, Mercury is going to oppose Saturn. And when he opposes Saturn on the 18th, he says to Saturn, you know, I was talking to Jupiter the other day, and he said to me, bop, 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 and, you know, and now I'm going to tell you. So this is a really big week for people carrying mean girl gossip or mean boy gossip or mean person gossip because Mercury joins with Jupiter, he hears something, and then he carries the tale and delivers it on the 18th, which is on Friday. So kind of watch that mean girl energy. It's also a semi-square to Ceres, to Neptune, to Chiron, and to Admetos, which means that we can say wounds that hurt or wound, even though we don't necessarily do it. So you may very well hear from someone who you didn't know. They may deliver some information, and you go, wow, I didn't know that was going on. Cool, good to hear, good to know. And understand that that's what Mercury wants to do under this energy. He wants to give you information you did not know that might make you mad, but that actually is good for you to make a plan with. I had someone the other day who had found their boss's emails that they planned on firing them, but the boss hadn't told them yet, you know. So they were kind of like, okay, and they'll probably hear this week when Mercury comes to this. And, you know, they know, so it's not a surprise. But it is kind of that, I know you were planning on firing me. You know, it's kind of like, I know you were planning on breaking up with me. I know you were cheating on me. You can get all sorts of really interesting news when Mercury's in a fire sign aspecting Jupiter and Saturn. So that's something to watch for. Venus flies into, she's flying through Aquarius. She goes from 14 to 22. She's moving pretty fast. That's close to a degree a day. So Venus is at a high-pitched clip. She has a semi-square to Uranus on the 14th, which is kind of a unexpected news around fire or around difficult energies. And semi-squares also are popular. Venus is in Aquarius on the 14th. So kind of getting known for her accuracy or her straightforwardness. There's a little part of me, that's my ascendant. So people writing to me and saying, oh, you were accurate about that. I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's like a horrible thing to be accurate about. That said, I'm not accurate. Astrology is accurate. But that Venus semi-square to Uranus says, yes, accuracy is great, but it can be at a cost. It can be painful. We also have Venus trine Saturn. It says competency is good. Saturn in Libra is at 15 degrees saying, you know, I'm competent, capable, and I'm going to tell you what's going on, Venus in Aquarius. So there's an understanding of not wanting to know what they know, but also knowing what they know. And there can be a little bit of an adjustment issue with that. We also have Venus in a semi-square to Pluto at the end of the week, suggesting that even though you know this, it may not always be fun. And Venus talks to Eris this week. So the goddess of discord is active with Venus. So we can be arguing with our women or with our desires. Mars is not moving too fast. He's going from 15 Pisces to 20 Pisces. And he has an inconjunct to Saturn on the 14th saying we have to adjust. And he has an opposition to Juno on the 19th saying, let's partner. And he has kind of cranky aspects. He's in Pisces, you know, not in a happy placement. In that, you know, Pisces is, I don't know what I'm, you know, I'm under stress. I don't really know that I want to fight. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm kind of swimming along. So once he gets out of water, which happens next week, he gets a little more clear, and he will also echo that Uranus point at the last degree. But this week, he's kind of just swimming along, causing some problems in relationships on the 19th, which is Saturday. Good day to fight with partner. Not that we want to fight with partner. Neptune joins with Ceres on the 20th, which suggests that we're going to want to nurture people and take care of them. That's on the vernal equinox. That gives us that is the theme for the season, with Neptune at the last degrees of Aquarius on Ceres, at the last degrees of Aquarius. So it's a good placement, and they're both moving forward, and they're both, you know, kind of working together and trying to process things together. Ceres is moving faster than Neptune, catches up to him and goes past him on that day. And then we also have Juno square Cupido, which is a Uranian point. The Uranian points are sensitive points that I use because I find they're pretty active and they're pretty helpful, but they also speak a great deal to giving us connection, giving us relationship, giving us partnership. So we're going to be restructuring some of our partnerships on the 17th, which is St. Paddy's Day. And then we also have Ceres is active this week. She goes from 27 Aquarius to 28 Aquarius. And so she's working with the North Node of Destiny, and she's saying, so what do you want to nurture and grow going forward? How do you want to nurture yourself? what's important to you to nurture. And so this is a great time to do the spring diet, to get everything ready to go, and to kind of really work on your vision of what you're trying to accomplish in your life, because the energy is really supported in doing it. And to also say, you know, I'm really interested in nurturing myself on a different level than I have before, and I'm ready to change stuff. We also have Cronos stationing, moving direct. Now, Cronos, again, is a Uranian planet, and he stations on the 19th of March, right before the vernal equinox. Cronos is all time, all history, all relationships. So one of the things we're going to be doing is thinking back through time, thinking back when things were connected, changed, related, partnered. And Cronos asks us to look at the deeper picture, to understand the vision of what it is we're trying to accomplish, and also to understand that time is part and parcel of this lifetime, that we each have a limited amount of time. And there will be stuff this month and next month that will really make us aware of how time is passing, how we are running out of time, how we there's never enough time, that, you know, Saturn, as he is at 15 degrees talking. Excuse me, I need more time for sleep. as he's talking to these planets, says to us, understand time. Understand that time is fleeting. Understand that time is all we have. You only have so many hours in life. You only have so many heartbeats in your body. You know, what is your, how are you spending your time? And I have to say, the last week or so has been very much having conversations with people about how do they spend their time? What are they doing? Are they happy with their life? Are they unhappy with their life? What's their vision of how they're spending their time? And in time as a clock, as a chronological, Cronos rules clock, and he's stopping this week. So whenever a planet stops, or even an imaginary planet or a sensitive point that hasn't been discovered yet by Mike Brown and his gang over at the Jet Propulsion Lab, whenever time stops, which is really going to be like this week, we're going to really feel that time pauses and that we're at kind of a major moment in time, a pivotal moment where we're kind of standing at the precipice. It's kind of like a slow motion movie. You know how, like, when they slow the movie down and everybody kind of looks and goes, wow, and you watch it in slow motion? Or when they take time-lapsed photography and they show you a flower slowly blooming, going from the bud and slowly opening and becoming all in a very quick period of time, where you watch the flower bloom and open as the time-lapse photography kind of blurs it all into a very short time. We're going to be working with time and how it either seems to expand or contract. Because this week it's very much about the expansion and the contraction of it. So Uranus goes into Aries, which is going to speed up everything. But Neptune is at the very last degrees, because now we're going to do Neptune at the very last degrees of Aquarius, because that's the next big shift that happens in April. And this last degree of Neptune is, you know, I'm really tired, but I'm not sleeping, or I'm really sleeping, I really just want to sleep a lot, or I'm really feeling very kind of wiped out, because Neptune can make us feel exhausted, and he's in the sign of groups. It's like, I'm exhausted, I can't really do it. And as he gets to the last part of Aquarius, we often find that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we volunteered for, the groups that we were a member of, we don't really want to do anymore. We're kind of done with. We're kind of like, okay, I'm finished with that group. It's time for me to move on to a different group. It's time for me to do something different. And that Neptune in Aquarius has that energy of what's my vision? What's my change? And he's changing for the first time in 164 years. We're talking some big planets here. 164 years he's going into Pisces. And Neptune is hard to describe. You know, he's the fogginess. He's the sense of, geez, you know, it feels like it's hard to grip my hands around. It's hard to pull my brain around. It's hard to kind of focus. because Pisces is, or, you know, Neptune is the fog. You know, when you watch a fog, it kind of comes in and then it drifts out and it comes in, and there's like this in and out kind of feel to it. And the Piscean energy is going to be building as we get closer to entering Pisces. And at the same time, Uranus and Neptune have, for the last 8 years, enjoyed something called mutual reception, where they're both in each other's favorite signs. And Uranus just blew out the door last Friday and said, "I'm history, baby." And Neptune's going to go, "Where'd you go? You're my friend. Where'd you leave?" And so now Neptune and Aquarius is going to make us very aware of our groups, or our lack of groups, perhaps, and what they are and how they show up. So we're going to be really working with some dissolving energy this week, as we are over the next few months, as next month until April 4th. So this next month, when Uranus just changed, right, and we've got some planets still in Pisces, so when those guys go into Aries, boom, 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 we're really clicking off this new cycle, because we're starting then a new solar cycle of the Sun to Aries for a year, and a new two-year cycle of Mars to Aries, or Mars to Uranus, which is our creativity and how we take it. And at the end of the month, Mars then also joins with Jupiter. And Jupiter also opposes Saturn, finishing up a 10-year cycle and saying, okay, the stuff you started in June of 2000, how's it going for you? Now, I know for me, June of 2000 was when I said, I think I want to leave corporate America and go be an astrologer. So I had a day I spent with a friend of mine from Pepsi, and she said, oh, they just had another huge layoff at Pepsi. And they were doing layoffs when I was there in 2000. And it was kind of like, you know, corporate America, not so secure. Why don't I just go be an astrologer, you know? I mean, it wasn't quite that simple, but you know what I mean? It was that transition time. And so hearing about there was the last big wipeout, and she named some of the people who, you know, I knew when I was there. And I'm like, wow, yeah, they were kind of lifers, you know, and kind of off with the tide. The tide said, goodbye. Sugarwater land is pushing you off. And we're all having that push off. We're all having that leave behind the place that you thought was home, that you've been comfortable in for the last 8 years, that isn't there anymore, that it's time for you to start a new thing. On a vivid level, we're seeing it with all the people who lost their homes in Japan. On an individual level, there's a part of us that's homeless now, that's been thrust out into the world, that sees that the world is not a safe place. The beauty of the 24-hour news cycle and the danger of it, that we're always tuned into something happening someplace. And understanding that interconnection is really important, because as an interconnected globe, we all feel it when there is a big shift somewhere, even if we're not in it. Because the images are right there, the coverage is right there, the seeing it is right there. And we are part of it. And so as Uranus enters Aries, understand that we are more interconnected now than we have ever been before. Like, there might have been a global network in 1927 when Uranus was last in Aries, but not very big. And in watching I went to watch the King's Speech last night. And in watching the King give the speech right before World War II, when he's on the newsreel and he's trying to give the speech, and then they take a picture of him as standing behind his desk, when it's not how he gave the speech at all. But, you know, the interconnectedness of the world, where we know instantly what's going on, that energy is just going to ramp up. And you have to find in your own heart your own quiet space, your own space where you can listen to your own being, listen to your heart's call, and get ready for the new changes. We've got one more planet to shift, Neptune into Pisces. I'm going to go research it, because this Uranus one was pretty rocking. But we are going to have Neptune into Pisces on April 4th. In this next month, we are going to wrap up this last little bit of Uranus in Pisces as it enters Aries, as the other planets come to go ding, 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 and kind of kick it one more time. And in the meantime, prayers and lots of love and support and kindness to you and all yours and all the people that you know and love. And make sure that they all know that you love them, because these are times where we really do need to know that we are all interconnected, because we are. And we're all part of the same team, human, and we all really are connected, you know. So safe home to you and safe week to you, and prayers for the losses and the loss of life and the loss of the loss in Japan. Take care. This is Ann Ortley. My weekly weather show is usually a little more upbeat than it was this week. But we are at the major times, major changes. So we're working with them, even though they aren't always easy. Have a good week. Bye-bye.